Good morning, America. This is the Katz Roundtable. John Katzmatidis here, Sunday morning. What the heck is going on? The American people don't understand it. And with us today is one of the most brightest guys I know in the intelligence business and in the loyal to America, John Negroponte. He was an ambassador to the United Nations. He was the first national intelligence director. Good morning, John Negroponte. How are you this morning?
Good morning. I'm fine, John.
The American people are very much concerned, and I am looking to you to see if you have the pulse of what's going on.
Well, I don't know if I have the entire pulse, but I think what we're seeing here is a loss of political will to carry on with the mission that we began with years ago. And I believe it started with the negotiations that Mr. Trump had and his administration had about setting a withdrawal date for our forces from Afghanistan. And then it was continued in talks with by Mr. Biden. But I think the real turning point was when we negotiated arrangements behind the government of Afghanistan's back to withdraw by September 11th. We also insisted that they release 5,000, the Afghan government release 5,000 Taliban prisoners, some of the meanest people that were in detention. And then we started to predict that it wouldn't be very long before the Afghan government would fall. Well, you know, with that kind of background, I think the people in Afghanistan, the government and the people, rightly drew the conclusion that they no longer had America's back and no longer had American support for what they were trying to do. So I think that hastened the deterioration of the situation there and led to this extremely rapid collapse. So I think it's both been mishandled strategically and tactically as well. There have been a lot of other kinds of mistakes made. Basically, it's a mishandled situation, and it reflects a loss of political will on the part of the United States. It did not have to be this way. We had managed to get the casualties down to a really low level. There hadn't been a casualty until yesterday. For about a year and a half of American troops, and the costs to in terms of both personnel and our budget had become sustainable. It was not a big drain on us, and I think it was something that we could have carried on for a long, long time and helped provide the necessary stability to the country of Afghanistan. But I think what happened shows you how fragile this sense of confidence can be on the part of another country. And when they start seeing their support from their best friend and the biggest power in the world unravel right in front of their eyes, well, they themselves lose heart and stop putting up a fight. So it's a tragedy all around.
Mr. Negroponte, the one thing the American people don't understand, how can our military leave all the Americans and civilians behind? And how can they leave all that military equipment behind? Isn't it traditional for our military to make sure every civilian is out and the military equipment is destroyed and doesn't fall into the wrong hands, and then leave? That's the part that they don't understand.
Well, it just shows you, it illustrates how rapid, how, I guess, unexpectedly rapid for our government, how unexpectedly rapid the collapse was. And so while I think they figured they might have the time and the space to do these things, things started collapsing in on them much faster than they thought they would. Next, of course, you know, there's this question of setting deadlines, which was a totally, you know, up to us. So we set September 11th. Then we decided the president shifted and filed it back to August 31st. Now, I don't think it's fair to say that we're leaving everybody behind. I think there will be some left behind, but they've done a pretty darn good effort. You got to acknowledge evacuating some 100,000 people, mostly many American citizens, and then many Afghan citizens as well, people who had worked with us. So I think there'll be some left behind, but I think the majority have probably been withdrawn, been taken out, and you know, that's all well and good. I think what's going to happen now, if we actually leave on the 31st, which I think Mr. Biden intends to do, we're going to have to find other ways to help any remaining Americans or Afghan people who worked with us and who want to get out. We're going to have to find other ways to do that. They're going to have to find come overland, cross the borders of Afghanistan to either to the north, to Uzbekistan, or to the west in Iran, or to the south in Pakistan. And I think a lot of people will eventually find their way out that way. But I don't think we're going to be able to get everybody out August 31st.
The other rumor, rumor or fact, I'm not sure. I mean, you know, you scratch your heads, my head sometimes, is that the fact that the American intelligence turned over to the Taliban, thinking they're our friends, list of the Afghanistans that are American friends. Have you heard that?
You know, I've heard that reported, but I don't know that to be a fact. And I understand what you're driving at, but I am not aware of that as a fact.
Well, then the Taliban then made a demand, say the Americans could leave, but the Afghanistanis cannot.
Yeah, that developed in the last day or two, right? I mean,
yes.
Up until pretty recently, I would say, you know, lots of Afghan people from Afghanistan have been getting out as well. And I wouldn't be surprised if some more get out in the next couple of days. I mean, it seems to be chaos out there at the airport. So I think it's become completely unpredictable as to what might or might not be possible in these remaining 4 days. But we should give credit to our military and others for having gotten 100,000 people out of the country, I think, in less than 2 weeks. And, you know, I think and all through Kabul Airport. And I think that's, you know, that's a significant accomplishment. So let's not underestimate that.
Understood. What else would you like to tell the American people to make them feel more comfortable? I mean, there's a lot of people that do feel uncomfortable.
Well, yeah, starting with you and me. I mean, not only uncomfortable, but extremely sad at what has happened because, you know, we went in there with good motivations. We were responding to the 9/11 attack. We were acting in self-defense of the United States. I mean, I was the guy at the UN at the time who called for an emergency meeting of the Security Council that Sunday night to inform the other members of the Security Council the United States was going into Afghanistan in exercise of our self-defense under Article 51 of the United Nations Charter. So, you know, I was definitely, you know, very much involved with this at the very beginning. Here's what I would say. You know, we have to deal with the situation that we face at the moment. The U.S. is still a great power. We still have the greatest economy and the greatest military in the world. And we have a strong diplomatic presence in many, many countries. We're going to have to work this issue now in different ways. We're going to have to try to influence or contain Taliban behavior if they start allowing terrorist activities to be staged out of Afghanistan. We're going to have to respond if that happens. And it sounded from the president's press conference yesterday that he's definitely willing to do that. I think we're going to have to deal with the humanitarian issues. We're going to have to keep trying to get people out. But you're also going to have other humanitarian issues. You're going to have a lot of refugees in countries like Pakistan and Iran. And I think you're going to probably have humanitarian problems in the winter in Afghanistan, food supply and so forth. So, you know, it's not as if the problems of Afghanistan are going to go away. The other thing I'd say is we have to, work with the rest of the international community here to, it's not only our responsibility to be helpful. We got to hope that to encourage the Europeans also to play their part. They were with us in this with NATO. And so I think going forward, we're going to have to work with NATO and other countries to try to do what we can to address and alleviate the situation in Afghanistan.
Last question. Our allies, the Brits, are as mad as hell. You believe that our allies are disappointed in us? I mean, we did not keep them informed, and they are just mad.
You know, John, it's a little bit like a hot mic, right? You catch somebody, they don't know they're being really recorded for the world at large, and you hear them, arguing with each other, American military and British military, about what to do about some specific situation. That happens in war, and just about anything can happen in war. I mean, but we're still solid allies. We were in this together all these years. I think they have some of the same criticisms of what Mr. Biden did as I do, which is I think we worked too fast. The costs were sustainable. I've always wondered what was the big rush. We could have stayed on longer and at a lower level of presence with enough presence and a sustainable enough cost that we could have helped keep Afghanistan stable.
Ambassador John
sad
Negroponte,
story. Very sad days. Very sad
day.
Days, John.
Ambassador Negroponte, thank you so much for everything you've done for America and continue to speak out for the good of America. And God bless you and God bless America.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
Take care.